Take your Bibles tonight, and as I say often, you can turn anywhere because it's all good, but for the sake of unity, let's go to the book of Deuteronomy tonight, the book of Deuteronomy, the first chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Can you hear me all right tonight? Okay, all right, Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1 down through verse number 8. I know this is what God has for us at this particular hour. God gave this to me last night. I was actually in the kitchen and wasn't studying, was just in the kitchen, and he laid this upon my heart and then got in there and finished it up about 12-something this morning. So I know this is what God would have for us here tonight. So let's receive it as such. Deuteronomy chapter 1, notice verse 1 down through verse number 8. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1 down through verse number 8. It says, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir, unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side, Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." I want to speak tonight on this subject, and it sounds like a command. It's really kind of in the imperative. At least I placed it that way. I want to speak tonight on this subject, move to the next level. Move to the next level. Let's get some help. Father, thank you tonight for just allowing us to be here. Father, it's just a blessing to be in your house on this Wednesday evening, this midweek service, to get our tanks refueled again. Father, to get a spiritual tune-up so that we can continue this walk, this journey that you have for us. And Father, as my prayer always is, I pray that if there's somebody who hasn't even begun this journey, who's never trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray tonight would be the glad hour that that man or that woman come to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. And then, Father, for those of us who are saved, Father, help us to get tired just going around the same old mountain. Father, walking on the same old plains, seeing the same old things. Father, help us to have a desire to move to the next level. Take full control right now. Father, may a Caleb rise up tonight. Somebody has got another spirit. Father, stir us now with your word in Jesus' name. And our God's people said, amen. Well, the book of Deuteronomy, a tremendous book. Matter of fact, I like Deuteronomy. And if the truth be known, out of the five books that Moses wrote called the Pentateuch, the book of Deuteronomy is my second favorite book. My first, of course, is the book of Genesis. That's, of course, for me. Might not be for you. But the book of Genesis and then the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is one of the most quoted books in the entire New Testament. Matter of fact, there's only four other books that's quoted more than the book of Deuteronomy. And that's the book of Psalms and the book of Genesis. And then you have the book of Exodus. And I have it written down, and I'm trying to see if I could find it here in my notes. And also the book of Isaiah. And the way it works, you've got Psalms first, then Isaiah second, and then you've got Exodus after that. And then, of course, when you get down to the fifth one, you've got the book of Deuteronomy. And so the book of Deuteronomy is a tremendous book. I enjoy it. I love it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he himself quoted from the book of Deuteronomy several times. You remember when Satan came and tested the Lord? The Lord Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Matter of fact, three times you find him quoting from the book of Deuteronomy when Satan came to attack him. He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16, and from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3. The Lord Jesus Christ used the book of Deuteronomy. You remember when somebody came to him one time and they asked this question. They said, what is the great commandment in the law? Where did he go to find his answer? He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5. And so the book of Deuteronomy is really a well of knowledge. And what I came to do tonight is to take the bucket of the Holy Spirit, drop it in this well of knowledge, and by the grace of God, impart something refreshing into your life that will cause you to say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to stay the same as I was in 2013. I'm moving on to the next level. If nobody else moves, I'm moving on to the next level. Israel had been existing in the Mount, that area, for a long time. Now God, through his man servant Moses, was telling them, it's time to move away from this area. It's time to move away from this mount and to move on to greater things. There is a promised land out there that has already been promised, and now it's time for you to go and to enter into that promised land. It's time for you to leave this wilderness. It's time for you to leave this barren place, and now it's time to go to a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a land that has pomegranates and figs, a land where you have houses that you didn't build, wells that you did not dig, a time for you to move up from where you are, to move up to the next level. I believe by the grace of God that God is trying to speak to his people tonight. And it's time in 2014 for somebody to say, I'm moving to the next level. To the next level. It's time to take your home to the next level. It's time to take your service to God to the next level. It's time to take your faith to the next level. It's time to take your walk with God and your dreams to the next level. Now, if that is going to happen, then there must be some things that we do. You don't ever ascend anywhere unless you put forth some effort. You can descend. In other words, you can roll down a hill without putting a lot of effort. Matter of fact, you are trying to resist the fall and trying to stop, but gravity says you're coming down. But to ascend up there must be some effort that's put in. There must be some things that we must do. So now how do we move to the next level? We have to do the exact same things that the children of Israel did. Number one, in case you're taking notes, if you're going to move to the next level, and before I even read this, let me say, if you're going to progress and grow in 2014, then don't just come and put in some time. You come and you listen and intently say, I'm going to apply these truths to my heart. Hey, I don't want to, in 2014, I don't want to hear a message. I don't want to preach a message that I don't try to put some effort into to applying it to my life. And that's going to take some meditation and thinking about it and then trying to apply those principles and those truths to your life. I've even been thinking about what we've been heard. And I don't have this in my notes, but I've been thinking about what we even heard during the watch night service. Our son, Brother Seth, got up here and talked about soul winning and then talked about what the Lord had done for us. Hey, it's already 8 days into the new year. I hope that you've given somebody a gospel tract and tried to give a verbal witness. Amen. Thank God I see heads shaking and hands raising. Thank God for that. That's putting the word into practice. Amen. Brother Terry, he got up, and Brother Terry, while he was preaching, talked about getting up early in the morning. See, if you're going to know what it is to meet with God, you've got to know what it is to rise early and talk to him and get into his word and allow his word to get in to you. See, I'm saying, hey, I want to see us move to the next level. Everybody's not going to do it. But some will. So now let me give you what you need for those who want to move to the next level. Number one, you must be willing to do what God has said. I said, number one, you must be willing to do what God has said. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 down through verse number 8. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. God told them it was time for them to move from one place to another, literally from one level to another. They were going into the promised land. They were supposed to possess the land of Canaan. God was saying, you've been at this place long enough. You've spent enough of your life here in this place. Now it's time for you to move on to the next level. It's time for you to possess something a little bit greater. You know what you ought to determine to do? You ought to determine to say, by God's grace, that I'm going to walk in what I hear when I read the word of God. God gave them a command. Had they not followed the command, that younger generation, they would not have gotten in. The older generation did not follow the command of God, and they did not make it to the next level. They stayed at one level for 40 years. So that means when God speaks, we need to move. So not only what you hear, not only what you hear when you're reading the word of God, but also what you hear that comes from the man of God. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. He said, on this side Jordan in the last, excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 5. On this side Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law saying. In other words, Moses what Moses gave to them came from the Lord. And what I'm giving you tonight, I know without a shadow of a doubt, it came from the Lord. I just wonder who will be stirred on the inside to say, I'm moving to the next level. God has said he wants me to go out and do some things. I'm taking my family to the next level, my faith to the next level, my service to the next. I wonder who I'm talking to. They had to listen to Moses in order for them to get where they needed to be. I said, if you're going to move to the next level, you must be willing to do what God has said. Secondly, you must be willing to slay some old enemies. I said, you must be willing to slay some old enemies. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 1. Notice verse 3 down through verse number 4. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After, that's a semicolon, not a period after the word them. Semicolon. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. In other words, they were ready to move to the next level after Sihon was dealt with, after Og was dealt with. By the way, those were some old enemies. You remember when they came out of Egypt? They met them when they came out of Egypt. See, sometimes in life, before you can move to the next level, you've got to slay some old enemies that's been coming after you. Those enemies that's trying to keep you from moving to the next level. Sometimes you've got to slay those old enemies. You'll never move to the next level until there's some things slain before you. Sometimes it can be old friends that keep pulling you down and won't allow you to rise to great heights for God. Sometimes you've got to slay those friends. I don't mean literally. I mean sever them out of your life. Because some people can be parasitic. They can sap every bit of life, faith, enthusiasm, desire out of your life. And sometimes you just have to cut some people off. You'll never ascend up to where God wants you to sometime until you separate from some people. Sometimes it can be some old habit or sin that keeps you from moving to the next level. Every time it seems like as if you're about to ascend to that next level, all of a sudden you fall back into those old habits and those old things that you used to do. See, if you're going to move to the next level, then those old sins that keep creeping up, you've got to slay those things in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. You've got to slay those things if you're ever going to move to the next level. Sometimes you've got to lay aside some things that aren't sins, but they are weights. And sometimes there's a sin that does so easily beset you. And if you're ever going to move forward, ever sin to the next level, sometimes you've got to slay that sin. Some old enemies need to be slain. Sometimes it can be an old attitude that just keeps creeping up. If you're ever going to ascend to a new level, you're going to have to slay that old enemy, because our attitude will determine our altitude. And sometimes that old enemy has to be slain. Listen, if depression always is coming and coming and coming and coming, hey, why don't you say in 2014, depression, I'm going to slay you in 2014. Every time you try to come my way, you're going to find yourself prostrate on the ground, slaying, and I'm going to stand with your head in my hand. I'm slaying you because I've got a new level I'm moving to. Sometimes you've got to slay some things. You know, we ought to say something like, you know something, I'm too blessed to be depressed. Don't you know that you are blessed tonight? Well, some of you know it. You are blessed tonight. You got a lot to be thankful for. But don't get satisfied. Get greedy. Get greedy. It's okay to get greedy for God. Get greedy. Jabez got greedy. He got what he wanted to. He moved to his next level. Sometimes it can be anger. That's an attitude. Anger, a thing keeps coming up. That's an enemy, enemy, enemy. Anger, anger, anger. Listen, you'll never, you know something, anger will tear things down. If you want to take it home to the next level, anger's got to be controlled in that home. If not, you build, anger come in, tear it down. Build, anger come in, tear it down. Build, anger come in, tear it down. If you want to build relationships with friends, in order to do that, you got to slay anger. Slay anger. Slay anger. To be quite frank with you, if you want to build your relationship with God, you got to slay anger. You know, there are some people who are actually mad with God and blaming God for things. Say, where did blaming God for things happen? It happened in the Garden of Eden. It did. That's where it started. It did. Everybody's passing the buck. And Adam got to the place, he just went to his highest court. He blamed on Eve, but it really wasn't Eve he was blaming. He's blaming God. What did he say? He said, the woman thou gavest to me. In other words, you and I were fellowshipping together. Everything was fine. Everything was good. We had a good time. And all of a sudden, you put me to sleep. Brought that woman, and now you see what happened. Your fault. What did he say? He said, the woman thou gavest to me. See, anger, if you're going to move to the next level in your life, anger's got to be slain. Sometimes it can be just a defeated attitude. Old enemy keeps coming forward. Every time you try to move forward. Just defeated attitude. You know something? I'll never be anything. I'll never do anything. I'll never accomplish anything. I always have, you know, problems and trouble. I mean, it's just gloom, despair, and agony on me. The only person get that is somebody probably over 50. But I'm talking about just, hey, you got it. All right. Some of you remember that. How many of you do? Slow your hand in here. All right, all these old folk in here. All these old folk. If it weren't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all. You know, some of you remember that, right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we got to get away from that defeated attitude. Defeated attitude. Man, if God lives on the inside of us, there's nothing we can accomplish if God lives on the inside of us. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He didn't say some things. He said, I can do all things. Sometimes that's an old enemy that needs to be slain. Sometimes it can be a negative self-image. Always down on yourself. Now, it's okay to be humble. But I'm not talking about being humble. I'm talking about just having a negative self-image. Slay that thing. Because if you got a negative self-image, you'll never be able to ascend. Because no matter what area you ascend, if you've got a negative self-image, you'll probably end up doing something to sabotage a relationship or to sabotage a job or to sabotage something. Get rid of that negative self-image. Slay it. Sometimes it's one that keeps cropping up. Laziness. Laziness. People who are achievers, movers, and shakers in this world can't be lazy. If you're ever going to ascend up and move to the next level, you can't be lazy. It takes hard work to move up. Sometimes it just has to be fear. that needs to be slain. That's an old enemy that keeps cropping up, keeps cropping up, keeps cropping up, keeps cropping up. Listen, the Bible tells me that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Listen, and that, by the way, it was fear that brought about a lack of faith in the children of Israel's life that caused them not to be able to go into the promised land. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't say fear would never come, but I said God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. So therefore, when fear comes, then we know, okay, that didn't come from God. All right, so then that's an enemy that's coming in. All right, I feel that. So I've got to slay this enemy. Oftentimes, to slay an enemy, it has to be some kind of engagement. You have to be engaged in a battle. So you may experience something, but you don't have to let it come in and occupy your territory. You understand what I'm saying? You may experience and say, hey, you're not setting up tent here. You got to get out, amen? And get you a sword and go to work. And by the way, I've got one today, and it's sharper. It cuts both ways. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Sometimes if you're going to move to the next level, you're going to have to get rid of some things. And one of the greatest things you're going to have to fight as far as these old enemies is fear. Fear, fear, fear. They had to deal with it. You remember the book of Numbers when they dealt with Og and when they dealt with Sihon? And I won't have you to turn there, but I have it here in my notes. I'm going to read it. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 33 down through verse 35, I'm going to show you how God can dispel fear. It says, and they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people, and his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons, and all his people, until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. Do you know that God can give you victory over some old enemies? When they crop up to try to keep you from moving to the next level, God can give you some victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14a says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. See, if we're going to move to the next level, I said, number one, you must be willing to do what God has said. I said, secondly, you must be willing to slay some old enemies. Number three, you must be willing to walk where you have never walked before. I said, you must be willing to walk where you have never walked before. Notice chapter 1, verse number 8. He says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. He said, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess. Possess it. That meant that they would need to walk someplace where they had never walked before. They needed to go over and possess that land. See, if you're going to make it to the next level, you can't play it safe. That means you have to be a person who's going to walk by faith and not by sight. That means that you can't be afraid of change. What oftentimes keeps a person in the barren wilderness is afraid of change. You can't be afraid of challenges if you're going to move to the next level. Matter of fact, people who are sinned up, they look at a challenge and they say, with God's help and by God's grace, I will defeat this, and I will be victorious, and I will come out on top. That's the kind of attitude that you need to have. See, you got to be willing to walk someplace you've never walked before. You got to see God taking you places he's never taken you before. Notice chapter 1, verse 21. It says, behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers have said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Do you know fear and discouragement will keep a lot of people from walking where they've never walked before? Do you know some people will hate a job, despise a job, but yet won't do anything to move beyond that job? There's more than one job out there. There's more than one job out there. Sometimes in life, we've got to get rid of fear and get rid of discouragement. Because see, oftentimes discouragement comes when dreams aren't realized. You got to remember, they stayed out there for a period of time. People dropped off and died. And sometimes in life, a person can get a little discouraged, afraid. Sometimes you've got to disassociate yourself from those things. I told you before how when I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God wanted me to get out of the Marine Corps in 1982, I knew that. I'd already done two tours. I knew God wanted me to go get out because I wanted to serve him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength and not having the military send me here and there. And I wanted to be able to take care of my mother because she was staying with my grandmother. I wanted her to come to live with me. I felt like my motives were right. After I got saved, I didn't have the desire for the Marine Corps like I did before I was saved when I was ascending up. I lost the desire. I did what was necessary, but I lost the desire because now my desire was to serve God more and in a greater way. And so I got out. Matter of fact, the last 2 years, I did not take a vacation. The last 2 years, I was in the Marine Corps so I could save those 30 days. Give me a total of 60 days altogether. I could sell those back and have a little money in the bank when I got out. Because you can't save money on pay for the military. You just can't. People think military people have money. They don't make money. They have a lot of benefits, but they don't make a lot of money. Not going to get rich unless you go the officer route and then moved up. And when I started watching television, you heard me tell about, I started watching television, and they were showing lies in the South. And they were talking about how the unemployment rate was high, and especially amongst minorities, they were saying. And I got to the place where something wasn't feeling right. And I said, you know what I got to do? I turned the television off. I said, I'm not watching the news anymore. I just turned it off. I turned off, and I'm serious about this. I didn't watch the news anymore. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking about forever. I'm talking about as far as from the time that I saw that until the time I got out. I said, I'm not going to watch it because it was bringing something in here. So when I tell you sometimes you've got to cut some things off, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Far more on television I could watch beside the news. It's all negative, most of it anyway. Still is. That's why I tell you, I don't spend a lot of time. My wife knows this, and she does the same thing. We don't spend a lot of time watching news. God, give me what we need. Listen, if you're going to walk where you need to walk, then that means that you're going to have to listen to the right people and listen to the right things. Look at verse 28 and verse 29. It says, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. See, if you're going to be able to move to the next level, you can't listen to negative people that discourage you. They will. Sometimes it's best just to keep stuff to yourself. Just sometimes just keep stuff to yourself. Because people will discourage you. Hey, I'm going up for a job interview. Well, you know, I don't even know if you're going to be able to make that. I tell you, I try to go up for one, you know, and they just turned me down. I done tried five of them. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, people can get in your ear and can mess you up. And instead of, at one time you were confident, and now you're going in there, and now all of a sudden, now fear has come in. You know what you got to do a lot of time in life? And I'm serious about this. Surround yourself with people who say positive things. Now, I'm not talking about yes men and yes women, because you need to have a friend to tell you if you are doing wrong. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about just get a yes man or yes woman. But if the people you hang around are just negative, 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 and negative, I'm telling you, it's like lint on a wool coat. It's going to stick to you. It will, and it's hard to get off. You need an outside force sometime to get it off. We've got a couple of dogs at the house. And I don't like him. I carry, like, I'll come upstairs, carry my coat, because I didn't want him to get on my coat. Because if he brushed my coat, he got hairs all over the place. He'd come in and shake and hair. Get on your stuff. In order sometime to get off, you can pick and pick and pick and pick, but sometime to get off, you got to get a roller and roll, roll, roll. My wife got in the car one time, and she got out, and I said, "Up. Come on in my office when we get to church. I'll roll you." Amen. And I keep a roller in there. Amen. I brought it in there and just roll it off. Get the hair off. Because I can blow and hit and whatever, and it's just not going to do it. And see, sometimes when you get around negative stuff, that thing can get on the inside of you. And so sometimes you need a little something, and that's what they got. They have somebody else saying, "Listen, you can do this. Dread not, neither be afraid." Sometimes you've got to have an outside force, because what's happened on the inside, your spirit has been discouraged and brought down. See, if you're going to walk where you've never walked before, then that means you got to listen to the right people and get out of your comfort zone. We like to operate in our comfort zone. I feel safe right here. God, this is where I like to be, and this is where I want to reside, and I'm comfortable here. Yeah, but you're not satisfied. I know, but I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable because I'm afraid if I go over here, I'm going to fail, or if I try this, I might not succeed. Listen, it's better, as somebody said, to aim at something and miss it than to aim at nothing and hit it. And even if you fail, you've learned from it. Because most inventors oftentimes have to go through a number of failures before they come up with the right invention. If you're ever going to ascend to the next level in anything, you cannot just be comfortable. You can't just stay in your own comfort zone. You've got to move out of a place and get uncomfortable in order for you to move forward. Each one of these little sub-points, I could literally preach a message on them. So I said, move to the next level. Number one, I said, you must be willing to do what God has said. Number two, you must be willing to slay some old enemies. Number three, you must be willing to walk where you have never walked before. And here's the last one. Number four, you must be willing to sell out to God. See, if you're going to ascend to the next level, you must be willing to sell out to God. Notice chapter 1, verse 34 down through verse 36. "And the Lord heard the voice of your words." And by the way, I hope you understand what the book of Deuteronomy literally is dealing with. The book of Deuteronomy means second or repeated law, if you check it out. That's what it means. And Deuteronomy is repeating what had already taken place in the previous books. So notice again, verse 34. "And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children." And remember, Caleb was one of the 12 that actually went over and walked. The majority of Israel didn't, but Caleb was one of the 12. And notice this. "He hath trodden upon." Notice this now. "And to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." In other words, he was sold out. He has fully followed the Lord. He has given him whole self over to following the Lord. He was sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. And so Caleb was able to move to the next level and took some with him. Why? All because he was sold out to God. Listen, in 2014, don't spend your life straddling the fence. I actually started to walk up here, but I don't have faith So I said that would ruin my illustration. But it's time to stop straddling the fence. A person who straddles the fence is an unstable person. It's time to stop straddling the fence. As long as you're straddling the fence, you know what will happen? See, this is service for God. This is the world, worldliness, lack of enthusiasm, lack of service. When you're straddling the fence, sometimes you're going to be in church saying amen, in church taking notes, in church doing right. And at other times, you're going to be missing on Sunday and missing on Wednesday and back on Sunday and then miss another Wednesday and back on Sunday and miss another time and then miss three or four services. When you like that, then your service or lack it. When you like this, you're coming. Everything's good. You're moving. And all of a sudden, you're back out. Don't live like that. Don't live like that. Don't spend your life straddling the fence. Get over on the good side. Good territory. Yoke up with God and say, by the grace of God, I'm selling out. I'm giving God everything I've got. I don't know how long I've got. All I know is the trumpet is going to sound one of these days, and I don't want him to find me sitting on the sidelines. I want him to find me doing something for him and serving him. I don't want to be ashamed before him as at his coming, as the Bible says some will. Hey, I want to move to the next level. I'm tired of straddling the fence. You know, when you're straddling the fence, you're not moving very far. You're not, because you wonder why, because you're afraid to move. You know what you got to do? You got to get over with God and sail out to him and wholly follow him. And I'll make you a promise. When you wholly follow him, God will move you to the next level. Don't be satisfied with where you are at. I wonder where Caleb is tonight. I wonder where Caleb is tonight. I wonder that person, you know something, I'm going to, well, I see one hand. I wonder if somebody will say, you know something, I'm tired of doing this. I'm doing this. I make you a promise. You sell out to God and see if God don't bless your life. When I say sell out to God, I'm talking about fully. You don't leave any rooms with a lock on it. I'm talking about you sail out to him lock, stock, and barrel. And you watch and see if God won't step in and bless your life. He'll do it. I know that he will. I wonder who will move to the next level. To the next level. Let's bow for prayer.